Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gutavi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
I
have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How's everybody feeling out there today? Crazy world we're living in. I hope you're listening to this while you're doing something really productive, like getting out and going to the gym, or maybe you're gardening around the house. Maybe you're planting food. I don't know. God knows we're going to need it. Speaking of planting food, speaking of getting yourself ready, go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com and buy yourself a 4-week supply of food or a 3-month supply of food, because I'm not even kidding here. The supply chain issues are very real. I had to get gas yesterday. I had to go to 4 different gas stations just to find gas. And as far as I know, it's not even a big deal. It's not known that we're having gas shortages or whatever. And yet that was the reality of my situation. It really kind of was another wake up call. Maybe I hit the snooze button, you know, since last year with the toilet paper supply shortages, but now I'm seeing gas, and we know that that's going to extend. Look, you do not want to be a day late on this one. You just don't. You don't want to get into gladiator school in aisle 4, trying to fight some guy over the last can of baked beans. Okay. You just avoid all of that nonsense. Start thinking about this stuff now. Don't be reactive. Be proactive. If you want to go and buy it this way, you can go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com. If not, that's totally cool. Just get yourself prepared for what we're about to embark on. God knows these maniacs have no problem cutting off the supply chains to us and watching us fight with each other like a bunch of starving rats. So be smart about it. You're listening to this show for a reason. You're getting weird information and strange ideas for a reason, because these are the things you need to start thinking about and taking care of. The new book is out, Hypocrisy. It's doing really well, too. I'm pleasantly surprised. Thank you all for the amazing support. If you're looking for the paperback version, it is on Amazon. It's also available as a Kindle on Amazon. If you are interested in bypassing Amazon and getting the digital version from me directly, that offer is still available. You can go to the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Donate $10 via the PayPal link there. I'll send you the new book as a PDF and as an EPUB. If you donate $15 or more, I'll send you the new book, and I'll also send you the digital version of The Octopus of Global Control as a PDF and EPUB as well. So you'll get 2 digital books. You'll get 4 different versions of them. So you can you can read it however you like, and I certainly do appreciate it. And if you buy the book on Amazon, please take the additional step of rating it. It matters. You know, people care about the ratings. And so if you are so inclined, I certainly would appreciate that. Well, I'll tell you what, this, I really want to get into talking about someone else's work, actually. This is there's an article I came across from Makia Freeman. You can go to thefreedomarticles.com and read this article, but I'm going to summarize it and talk a little bit about it and kind of expand on it because I think it's really good. And the title of it is 10 Current Trends of Operation Coronavirus as of September 2021. And the headline's great because it is an operation. And there are definitely trends that, you know, in a normal sort of pandemic, the trend would be, you know, everybody's dying, you need to try and stay alive. But that's not what we're living through. We're living through a psychological operation that's been planned well in advance, and it's being orchestrated by the CDC and the World Health Organization and the Fauci, you know, Fauci's group and the mainstream media and the big banks and the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You know, all the worst people in the world are in charge of this operation. And I find it really fascinating. And I've said this on this show. I've said this on interviews I've done on other shows. I just think that, like, to the person out there that is still unsure whether or not there is some high-level government fuckery going on with this coronavirus situation, I would just break it down like this. This is the simplest way to get somebody, you know, if there's somebody in your life, some normie in your life that's going, I think you might be a conspiracy theorist for thinking about it. Just ask them this one question. You know, your government spends a ton of time and effort trying to figure out new ways to take your money from you, to take your rights from you, to take the things that you've earned away from you, your freedoms, you know, whatever. The government, they look at you as the problem. You and me, obviously. They are trying to figure out new ways that they can exploit you through taxation. They want to tax. There's death taxes, okay? So, like, they tax you as you're dying. That's how little respect they have for you, right? They hate your guts. They hate you. The government hates your guts. They only deal with you because it's their job to, and they have to. But they would admit to you, if you got them in an honest moment, that this whole governing thing would work a hell of a lot better if it wasn't for all these fucking people. So they don't like you. They know that their job would be infinitely more easier for them to do if there were fewer of us here. And we've established that they have no respect for you as a human being. They take every opportunity to strip you of your rights, even when it's illegal for them to do it. They do that. But now, all of a sudden, and for some magical reason, collectively and simultaneously, all of the governments in the world have decided that right now, the most important thing to them, the governments, is to make sure that you are in good health. Don't you find that a little bit suspicious? Like, that your abuser, your jailer, your attacker is now trying to put band-aids on you? Why? Why are you all of a sudden interested in my health? Why are you so concerned about whether, here's your big opportunity to get rid of a bunch of us, right? Just let us all die. Just, if this virus is so deadly and everybody's just, we're just stacking bodies like cordwood on the sidewalks waiting for the coroner to come get them all. Just let us continue to do our thing, right? You'll get rid of us that way. Just do nothing. Say, well, it's a pandemic. Don't know what to do. You know, take care of yourself, I guess, or don't. But that's not what the government's doing. The government wants to take care of your health so badly that they've instituted a bunch of laws and rules. And if you don't follow those laws and rules for your health, they will beat the shit out of you with batons and spray you in the face with pepper spray and choke you out and take your kids from you because, you know, your health. So look, we've established that this is not about your health. And for those people that are in your orbit that aren't figuring this out, just ask them that question. Just ask them how they can. Hey, don't you think it's a little suspicious that this government that doesn't give a shit about us now all of a sudden gives a shit about only our health and is very adamant that the only way to protect us is to inject us with something? Would you let your enemy inject you with some mystery magic potion? Of course not. You'd have to be a hostage for that to happen, right? So that's what we are. We're a bunch of hostages. We're in a hostage situation with our government. They are telling us, if you don't do this, we are going to do that to you. They are forcing people to take an injection, you know, for their own health. I ask you, if it's truly for your own health, why do you have to coerce people? Why do you have to lie about things? Why do you have to change the definitions of herd immunity? Why do you have to do all of the things that you've been doing over the last 18 months? You know, it doesn't make any sense. And people desperately want to make sense of this. And so their brains are breaking because it's a computer program, does not compute. You go, yeah, but surely all these doctors can't be in on it, right? And it would be a massive conspiracy if all these people were in on it, and so it can't be that. If that is your barometer for judging whether or not conspiracies are real, is that if they can't possibly be real because they're so big, you need to adjust your barometer. Because all you need to do is look at 9/11. That's a massive conspiracy with so many moving parts that it's two decades after the fact and we haven't figured it all out, how every single component works. COVID is no different. It is a massive psychological operation that is meant to happen and used as the prefix to destroy society through laws and regulations and mandates and government edicts and all this stuff to remake society, to destroy the current version so that they can build back better. Who's in charge of this now? I mean, who's in charge is maybe a strong term, but who's the president of the United States right now? Joe Biden. What was his campaign? What was he running on? Build back better. Whose term is that? World Economic Forum. Who's running the COVID operation? World Economic Forum. Biden's part of this. Now, he's a puppet, and Kamala Harris is a puppet too, and they're disgusting, dirty, filthy puppets at that. But neither one of them are smart enough to pull this operation off themselves. They're being told what to do. They're being stage managed here. I mean, you can see this by the fact that Joe Biden says, oh, we're going to get the booster shot. We're going to do it right here in the Oval Office. They pull back and it's like in some fucking soundstage somewhere. And I don't know if he meant to say it was going to be in the Oval Office or if they just wanted to give the perception that it was happening somewhere in the White House. But the picture is it's most definitely happening in like a press room somewhere. And it's been built to make it look like the windows behind him are showing like trees and sunlight and everything. But the bigger picture, like the actual physical photograph of it, they're in a soundstage, which is yet another sort of, you know, one more scoop of fakery added in, you know, thrown on top of this pie of bullshit. It's COVID a la mode with one big helping scoop of, as Joe Biden loves his ice cream. Children, small children and elderly people love ice cream too, because you can eat it and you don't need teeth. Joe Biden loves his ice cream, and what he's doing is putting a big scoop of insanity on top of this apple pie filled with COVID. And it's not surprising, though, because he's an agenda guy. You spend five decades in Washington, D.C., and you wind up having, you know, you wind up part of the problem. So in this document that you can find at thefreedomarticles.com, I encourage everyone to go read it. They talk about the 10 trends. So let's talk about this. I'm just going to follow the article in a little bit and go over it. So COVID trend number one, outright denial of natural immunity. This has, of course, been a colossal issue right from the start. This is what the writer puts in here. It's true. Natural immunity is treated as if it doesn't exist. And it is being, and if you are, I mean, God forbid, it's media day and you're in the NBA and they call you up on stage. And to be fair, man, the NBA guys that spoke during media day, the ones that have decided to not take the vaccine and have decided to speak out about the best guys you can have speaking out. Smart dudes, man. Real smart guys. They know exactly what they're talking about. They did it in a calm, reasonable, rational, logical way, and they made the rest of the people that are making these vaccine mandates look foolish by doing it. So shout out to Bradley Beal and Andrew Wiggins and I forget his name on the Orlando Magic. Kyrie Irving. Talking out about it too. Kyrie gets he doesn't like the media either. Kyrie's my guy, man. Like he needs my sports media training company. We'd love to work with Kyrie. But it's important, you know, what those guys at the NBA were saying during those media press conferences was, you know, I had COVID already. I've developed natural immunity to it, and I don't think that should be discounted. You know, everyone's talking about the vaccine mandate and everything. I have something better. I have natural immunity now. Thankfully, I do. And these guys are saying, you know, I'm in a young demographic. I'm a world-class athlete. I've had the virus already. I've developed natural antibodies to it. I have natural immunity. And what the government is saying is that doesn't matter. Well, okay, that's the first indication that this is not about your health, not about science. It is about compliance. Is that if it was really about your health, they'd go, oh, you've already had it? Cool. One less vaccine we have to give out, because we know that the vaccine doesn't give you the type of immunity that natural immunity gives you. So good. We're glad you've got. I mean, if you were being intellectually honest about this, that's how you would frame it. You would say, who has natural immunity? All you people? Great. Go to the back of the line, right? When we were having the advanced priority groups for getting the vaccine, right? You'd say, how many of you people have had it? All you people that have had it and have developed natural antibodies, if it's not too much to ask, maybe you want the vaccine on top of this. Why? I don't know. But let's just say that you do. As a courtesy to those people that don't have natural immunity to it, why don't we just do you guys last, right? That's how you would run this thing. But they didn't do any of that. They just said, everybody has to get the shot. Well, that's idiotic. But of course, this is not about being accurate, logical, scientific or any of those things. It's about being idiotic. It's about there is one way out. It is the vaccine. It's the vaccine today. Then it's the booster. Then it's the other booster. Then it's this. Then it's that. I mean, there is no finish line. I know that everybody understands this. But the people that are like, oh, I'll get the shots. I'll jump up and get the shots first. Now they're in a trap. Because at some point, you know, when it's going to be like the fifth booster, they're going to go, I've done all the other ones. Like, do I really need to take the fifth? And they'll say, well, if you don't, you count as unvaccinated. And they're going to go, well, that doesn't seem fair. And then the response will be, none of this is fair. It's not about being fair. Fair left the party a long time ago. It's not about that. It's about compliance. It's about doing what the fuck they tell you to do and doing it right now. And if I tell you to get a fifth booster, you get a fifth booster. Do you understand me? Or I'm not, or you won't work here, or you won't go to this school, or blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is, it never ends. So you either figure it out now, or you figure it out when it's time to get your fifth booster. But you will figure it out. You will come to understand this. You better figure it out soon, though, before you turn your body into a toxic wasteland with this garbage. So, you know, they Anthony Fauci comes out. He gives a CNN interview and he has to admit that he doesn't have an answer on why people should trust vaccine acquired immunity over natural immunity. And even, you know, Vice, you remember Vice, that magazine or whatever it is, or online public. It used to be cool. Like when Shane Smith was running it before he took a couple $100 million of VC money. And then they turned it into, they changed their name from Vice to Woke. Vice put out an article saying that there's no such thing as natural immunity. I mean, it's... To say that is idiotic would be an insult to idiots. But that's Vice for you, because they're straight up garbage now. And in a recent Israeli study found that natural immunity was way more likely to protect you against COVID, and that the people that took the vaccine were 13 times more likely to develop an infection than the unvaccinated. But please explain to me why I should get the vaccine. You take the vaccine and now you're 13 times more likely to get an infection? I took math in high school and college. Okay. I understand what's going on here. This is really an embarrassment. But look, when you're losing the argument, you have to come up with and the agenda people come and tell you, listen, man, you better get a hold of this. You better get out in front of this. There's a lot of people talking about natural immunity. We can't have that. So, you know, the people, you know, CFR tells all of their organizations, you know, this is what we need you. We need you to go out there and spin this. So what do the retards at Vice do? They go, oh, we'll put out a story that says that natural immunity doesn't exist. Congratulations. What little was left of your credibility is now gone. And you have nobody to blame but yourself. And I hope Shane Smith enjoys that money that he made, because the thing that he created is a shell of itself and a fucking embarrassment in the media. COVID trend number two, replacement of those refusing the vax with immigrants. Well, I mean, there is a gaping hole at our southern border, and I'm not a wall guy. I'm not into that. I think that there's got to be some sort of, like, you know, there's got to be some sort of reasonable way to handle immigration. I would say that destabilizing Central America is probably the worst way to fix your immigration problem. But of course, the United States government isn't in the business and is not interested in fixing their immigration problem. They don't see it as a problem. They see it as a pipeline for new immigrants that they can bring in and say, remember, vote Democrat. We're the ones that let you in. Vote blue. No matter who. And these guys are going, how do I vote? I'm not even a legal citizen. They're like, don't worry about that. You'll get an address somewhere. We'll mail you the stuff. You can vote. Because remember, you can see the chart in my book of all of the things that you need an ID for. And it's three columns and it takes up like the entire page. It's all of these things that you need ID for. One thing you don't need it for, apparently, is voting, because that's logical and makes any sense. So this trend that they're going to it's not just limited to the United States. It's Western nations, really, just in general, that they've got all these people that are protesting against vaccine mandates, and people are quitting, right? Rather than take the shot, which is exactly what you should do. And this includes like nurses and cops and firemen and all kinds of people. And what's happening is it's leaving these organizations understaffed, you know, because people are rightly saying, I'm not interested in participating in this. And if you're going to mandate this, fuck you, I'm out of here. So what it's doing is they're going, well, where are we going to get all these new people? So now what you have is the governor of New York threatening to replace all of the nurses and people that left with foreigners and immigrants, and that we're working on that. Well, you know what? This is right. To those who won't get vaxxed, we'll be replacing people. And I have a plan that's going to be announced very shortly. We've identified a whole range of opportunities we have to help supplement them, working closely with various hospital systems to find out where we can get other individuals to come in and supplement places like nursing homes. We're also reaching out to the Department of State to find out about visas for foreign workers on a limited basis to bring more nurses over here. That's what the chick that filled in for Cuomo said. You know, that the shithead that's wearing a necklace that says vaxxed on it? You know her? What a surprise, right? They got a new person to go along with the agenda, and she's more of an authoritarian than Andrew Cuomo. Go out there and clap for the NHS, you fucking trained seals. Get out there and clap. It's 8 o'clock. Get out on your balconies and clap for the NHS. That's 2020, right? 2021? Fuck those people at the NHS, right? They won't take the jab. Fucking let's replace them with a bunch of people from Botswana. How fast can we get the plane loaded up in Egypt with a bunch of foreigners that don't speak the language? You have nursing skills. You might have worked. You interned at a hospital. Great. Come on. Would you like to move to the UK? Would you like to move to? Oh, you're from Haiti. You just got hit with a devastating earthquake. Do you have any medical skills at all? None. Perfect. We're sending you to New York City. You're going to be a nurse. I mean, it's fucking preposterous and on its face. But you know what? Keep doing it. Keep quitting. Make it difficult on them. Break the system. Break them. Because this dope in New York, that she thinks that she's going to fix the problem by importing a bunch of immigrants that don't understand what's going on in this, has never been in this country, and you're just going to plug them in and everything's going to be fine. Your starting left tackle went down with a blown ACL. This is like going into the stands and saying, you look like a big dude. You want to come play left tackle for the Cleveland Browns for the second half? I mean, it's idiotic. And yet these are the options being discussed. I mean, you have to kind of laugh, right? Okay, so COVID trend number three, delicensing and arresting those who prescribe ivermectin. If it saves just one life, get the shot. Get the shot. What about ivermectin? Horse tranquilizer. They won the Nobel fucking prize in 2015 for it, for its use on human beings. If you are still saying ivermectin is horse paste, you're part of the problem. You're an idiot and you're part of the problem. Get yourself educated on it. Cures river blindness, okay? Now, is it listed as a cure for COVID? No, it is not. But because it is used for river blindness, it is eligible to be repurposed. But they don't want to repurpose it for COVID, even though, like I said in a previous episode, it showed a 5,000-fold reduction in the virus in just 48 hours. 5,000 times reduction. Hell, even if it was 5 times, it would be something you would need to take, right? I'm not licensed to give medical advice. I'm not like, you know, I'll do all the disclaimers here. It's not being prescribed because if you start showing that there is an alternate treatment for COVID, then you can't have emergency use authorization as long as there's an alternate treatment for it. So they're going to demonize anything, whether it's ivermectin or kryptonite, that comes in and fixes COVID, because you can't have that option. They need the designation of emergency use authorization in order for these, quote, vaccines to still be on the market. Moderna's wouldn't be on the market. They're 0 for 8 in bringing products to market. It would have been 0 for 9 if it hadn't been for this emergency use authorization. And the only reason why they're able to call their vaccine a vaccine when it's gene therapy is because of this designation. So it's very important that they demonize ivermectin. And clearly they know that, because this new trend is talking about delicensing and arresting those who prescribe ivermectin. Now I ask you, why would you be doing this if you were in the middle of an actual pandemic? The answer is you wouldn't. You wouldn't be. And it's pretty fucking obvious here. Oh, yeah. It's all so annoying. COVID trend number 4, system begs people to stop doing their own research. Okay. Why would you tell somebody to stop doing their own research? Think about it in your own life. You know, if somebody, the only answer is, well, I guess there's a couple answers. I will give them this. There are a lot of stupid people out there. Okay. And stupid people can be easily misled. So there is a possibility of people going out there and doing their research and discovering and getting led down the wrong path. That we have to be honest and say that there is the potential for that. But going down the wrong path, some dummy going down the wrong path and thinking that he's going to take some new experimental thing, you know, to make this virus with a 99.98% survivability rate and a median death age of 80 go away. He may research online and find something that doesn't really actually work and try that anyway. But how is that any different than taking the vaccine? You're just skipping the research part, right? The vaccine, it doesn't work either. I mean, it doesn't stop you from getting COVID, and it doesn't stop the transmission. So I ask you, what the fuck does it do? Except put a lot of money in the pocket of the pharmaceutical industry and create this concept of vaccination that everybody's magically protected. Well, if you're protected, why is everybody getting it? Why is everybody that has the shots, why are they getting the virus? Because it doesn't protect you from getting it, right? And then it doesn't protect you from transmitting it. The two things that, you know, you'd want, especially if you were willing to take an experimental medical procedure, the trade-off would be, look, this thing hasn't been fully tested yet, so I may grow a third arm, but at least I'll never get COVID, and at least I'll never transmit it to anybody in my house. And then if I grow that third arm, you know, that'll be in the future, and I'll deal with that in the future. They can't make that promise to you. In fact, quite the opposite. In fact, they don't even pretend that you're not going to get COVID and that you're not going to be able to spread it. So those two options are off the table. Now it's only downside. So explain to me why they don't want you to do research. Well, they don't want you to do research because after about 10 minutes of research, you'll figure this out. I mean, even the dumbest person in the world will figure this out, because it's so obvious that this is a gigantic operation that it is imperative for them to get you to not research it. You know, if your stats and your story and your agenda were all legitimate, they were all 100% on the up and up, then you know what your response is? Do as much research as you want. In fact, here's my material. Let me know when you're done researching. See what you come up with. This is what we came up with. I got facts. I got science. I've got short-term testing, medium-term testing, long-term testing. tested it on animals, everybody's fine. Tested it on people, everybody's fine. We did all that. You want to research it? Go for it. They don't do any, they don't want you doing, they haven't done any of that. Oh, you did the testing on animals? How'd the animals do? Well, they all died. Really? Well, what about the long-term testing on humans? Have you done that yet? No. I'm sorry. What? Surely you've done the medium-term testings. Well, I mean, kinda. I mean, we're kind of doing it right now. I mean, if you took the vaccine, then welcome to the test. For all you anti-vaxxers out there, you're in the control group. And see, that's the problem. They don't want a control group here. Because if we've got a segment of people that haven't taken it, and a year from now, all of them are doing just fine, and we've got a much larger segment, and they all took it, and they're all fucked up from it, then it's going to be pretty obvious. Everyone that didn't take the magical rush to market experiment, they're all doing fine. You know, the virus with the 99.98% chance of survival, magically, they all survived from it. But that other group of people, holy shit. Look at them. They're falling apart at the seams. You tell people not to do their own research when you are trying to hide things from them. I don't think that's a difficult concept to understand. What do you think is going to be valuable when governments around the world collapse? Money? Forget it. Just look at Venezuela. They burn it in the streets just to keep themselves warm. What about Bitcoin? Can't even withdraw it without being investigated by the IRS, but I've got two ideas. Gold bars, they never go out of style. You can beat someone over the head with it if they try and break into your house. And what about this? What about masterpiece paintings? After all, governments have literally gone to war over great works of art. People understand the inherent value of masterpiece paintings. They even say that art is the new gold. And, you know, you can roll up a painting and land on any continent on Earth and sell it. And as you probably know, art has been a great investment for centuries. Even those scumbags, the Rockefellers, just sold their art collection for $800 million at auction. On average, contemporary art prices have beat the S&P 500 by nearly three times over the last 25 years. If you'd been buying paintings from artists like Banksy, Basquiat, or Monet, and God knows we all have, chances are we've all done very well for ourselves. But unless you're already a billionaire and can drop $20 million on a single canvas, you've been shit out of luck. But thanks to Masterworks, you can now invest in the same types of multi-million dollar paintings for a sliver of the typical purchase price. Masterworks is the first company to democratize the exclusive world of art investing. More than 200,000 people have already signed up. They've securitized more than $250 million worth of artwork, and they're just getting started. Like I said, art has historically been a great investment, and it's finally investable for everyday people. Masterworks has seen an explosion in demand, and their waitlist to join is absurd at the moment. But I've partnered with Masterworks to let my listeners skip to the front of the line, start investing ASAP. All you have to do is go to masterworks.io/macroaggressions. Just go to the website, read up a little bit about it, see what you think. Their past offerings have sold out in hours. Don't wait around. You can see the important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer. But I suggest you just take a couple minutes, check it out, see if it's right for you. Go to masterworks.io/macroaggressions. COVID trend number 5, further entrenchment of segregation and discrimination. Now, this part is really, it's happening. It's obvious. We're watching it. And it's really disgusting. You're seeing this in colleges and universities where they're going, well, listen, they've started segregating dorms. And this one university, I just read about this morning, talking about this one university. God, I wish I had the article in front of me, talking about segregating dorms. Like, oh, we put the African Americans in this dorm. What are you doing? Like, what? Like, have you no self-awareness at all? about what's happening here. We've got discriminate, and that's them discriminating based on COVID and then tying it into like the African American students. Like it doesn't make any sense for COVID, but it certainly doesn't make any sense if you say, well, we're going to put all the black people in one place. We're going to put all the white people in another dorm. We're going to put all the Asians in another dorm. Dude, don't do that. That is most definitely a problem. Okay. I think you're supposed to go to college to intermingle with other people and get yourself, broaden your horizons and meet people from different cultures. I was fortunate enough to have that experience in high school, in my boarding school, where we all, kids from Saudi Arabia and Hong Kong and Europe and all kinds of people in South America. It was a melting pot of kids. If the dorms in my high school had been like, okay, well, the white kids live here, I'd be like, what the fuck kind of school did I sign up for, right? So this is happening. This is happening right now. The unlawful threats of employment termination, travel bans, restaurant bans for anyone that's not taking the vaccine. They're creating two tiers of society. I mean, no exaggeration, we may get ourselves to the point where instead of like whites only and colored water fountains, it's like vaccinated and anti-vaccinated water fountain. We won't even get our own water fountain. We'll just get a hose, if we're lucky. Or be like, hey, see that spigot over there? Like turn it on and stick your mouth under it, you dirty anti-vaxxer. this is the sort of insanity that we can come to expect. COVID trend number 6 in this article. Underreporting and cover up of COVID vaccine injuries and deaths continue. This is part of the agenda, and it's a devious one at that, because what we're seeing is this is something that really bothers me, and I'm sure that if you haven't heard about it yet, it'll bother you once you hear about it. The CDC doesn't consider a person to be vaccinated until 2 weeks after the injection. Do you know why that is? The reason, you get the injection, you should you get the little card, the one that everybody's forging. You get the little card, you're vaccinated, right? You've got your shot. And then you go out into the world. Would you or would you not consider yourself to have been vaccinated at that point? Of course you would. CDC doesn't. They don't consider you to be vaccinated until 2 weeks after that. Do you know why that is? Because most of the deaths occur within the first 2 weeks. And if you are technically not counted as vaccinated, then all of those people that die from taking the vaccine and then just up and, walking out and dropping dead in the parking lot, which, by the way, has happened a lot. All of those people technically now are unvaccinated deaths from COVID, as opposed to fully vaccinated people that died from the shot. So it's a kind of a 2-for-1. Not only are they not being counted as, it's a 3-for-1. They're not being counted as vaccinated deaths. So that's a win for the agenda. They're not being counted as vaccine adverse side effects / vaccine deaths. That's another win for the establishment. But they are being counted as unvaccinated deaths from COVID. See how that works? If you go get a shot today, you go home, you're not feeling good, you die tomorrow, you are an unvaccinated COVID death, not a vaccine injured death resulting from the vaccine. That's what you do when you're manipulating the numbers. That's what you do when you're playing games with accounting. That's what you do when you know the vaccine is terribly dangerous for you and you want to suppress that information as much as possible. Because it doesn't make any real logical sense to say, well, we're going to wait 2 weeks from the vaccine when you got the vaccine to count you as vaccinated. Why? I got it. I did what you said. I'm vaccinated. Can I go play with others? Well, we're not going to count you as vaccinated for 2 weeks. Oh, in case I'd up and die from this thing, right? Exactly. Yeah, because, you know, it'd be kind of a bad look. You know, we give you the vaccine and then you guys all go out and die. And, you know, then it looks bad for the vaccine. You understand where I'm coming from? Yeah, yeah, I get you. So you're going to fuck with the numbers to hide your criminality. I got it. Yeah, we all understand. Moderna, you know, the company I just talked about that has never brought a product to market. Ask those people that in your life, oh, you got the Moderna shot? You're comfortable? You're comfortable with their track record? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think they're good. Really? Interesting. Did you know that they've never brought a product to market? Huh? I'm sorry, what? Yeah, they've been unsuccessful. Every single time they've tried to bring a product to market, they just can't. They can't get the approval on it. You know why? Because their products suck. But have fun with those vaccines that were rushed through and given emergency use authorization and deemed to be a vaccine. Because when that EAU goes away, it's not going to be deemed a vaccine anymore because it's not. Legally, it's gene therapy. Legally, right now, it's considered a vaccine. But it's only legally considered that because of the emergency use authorization declaration. When that goes away, so does the insistence of that treatment being called a vaccine. It can then go back and revert back to what it really is, which is an unproven, untested gene therapy. So enjoy your Moderna shots. And if you think I'm lying, go listen to the Union of the Unwanted group show that I did with Sam and Ricky and Mike and Dr. Robert Malone, Dr. Carrie Madej, there are a total of 8 doctors on the call. They'll tell you. They'll tell you all about it. But Moderna's internal document came out showing 300,000 adverse event reports in just a 3-month period. Oh, imagine my surprise that the company that can't seem to get a fucking product to market has 300,000 adverse effects from their product that they manipulated the system to get brought to market in just 3 months. That's 10,000 people a day. No, that's 1,000 people a day. It's 3,000 people a day. I'm out of my mind. What am I talking about? It's there's a study that came out. This is from a while ago, but I think it's relevant for this conversation. And it has to do, this is pre-COVID. It has to do with the VAERS report, Vaccine Adverse Effects Reporting System. The VAERS system was set up so that when you had an adverse vaccine event, there was a panel, a group that you could go to. You could report this vaccine adverse event. It would be documented and there would be a record of it. And then we could sort of manage this, right? So what would happen is you'd go to your doctor, or you'd take your baby to the doctor. You'd get like an MMR shot. You'd have a really bad reaction to it, which happened all the time. And you would tell your doctor, or your doctor would go, oh shit, this is a problem. I need to report this to the VAERS system because it's, you know, this is what we do. Well, in 2009, the Lazarus report came out, and that was from Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. And what the Lazarus report showed is that fewer than 1% of adverse effects are actually reported to VAERS. So for every 100 times those shots affect somebody in a negative way, autism, ADHD, just really bad inflammation, death, SIDS, you know, SIDS, which was the cover story for vaccine damage. If any of these things happen, they're supposed to report it to VAERS, but less than 1 out of 100 actually do. And through that VAERS system, they've paid out $4.2 billion to settle vaccine damage claims. This is pre-COVID. So use that same formula. That's why when I've talked about VAERS paying out $4.2 billion in the past and sort of showed the context or the contrast between how that's more money than the Catholic Church has paid out And we know how dirty they are, you know, for their rape allegations and all that stuff, the molestation of kids. Catholic Church has only paid out $4 billion. The vaccine industry has paid out $4.2 billion from the Veris Court. And technically, that money wasn't paid by the pharmaceutical industry. It's actually 75 cents from every shot that is sold in the United States is collected into the pool. And then that pool, the money from that is used to pay for it. So in actuality, that $4.2 billion came from the consumers themselves. But think about this. If the Pilgrim Report is correct, and that the number of people that have gone through the Veris Court that have been paid out, which is a kangaroo court anyway. I mean, I would suggest that 90% of the people that go there don't get paid out anyway. But even the ones that did, that number should be 100 times higher than it is. So instead of it being $4.2 billion and just a little bit more than the Catholic Church, if we extrapolate out what based on the Pilgrim Report, Veris should have paid out $420 billion. That's damn near half a trillion dollars. And they would still have to, and it would still factor in that most of the payouts for autism never happen. They simply will not acknowledge that vaccines have anything to do with autism. If you go through the Veris Court on an autism claim, you will not get paid out. Half of the payments are flu shot related. The other half are obscure things. But MMR, good luck to you. You're not very rarely. Is anybody paid out from that? The reason why the Lazarus report found that fewer than 1% of adverse effects were reported to Veris was most people don't know about it. Most, the doctors know about it, but the people don't. And the paperwork takes about 30 minutes to complete. Doctors, you know, maybe they don't want to do the paperwork. And also, look, the doctors don't want to be responsible. So sometimes they don't report anything. Can't be responsible if you don't report it, right? So they've been underreporting vaccine injuries and deaths for decades. This is not trend number 6 in this brilliant report. It's specific to COVID, but this is a trend that has been going on for a very long time. And COVID is just sort of making a new generation of consumers aware of it, but it's by no means a new thing. They've been manipulating the numbers since Veris came into existence. It's run by the Department of Homeland Security and Health and Human Services, I think. It's a kangaroo court, man. It's a fraud of a court. It's like staffed with ex big pharma executives. I mean, if you've had to navigate the maze and minefield of the Veris court, and you've seen it, then you know what I'm talking about. Allergic reactions to COVID vaccine is underreported by the CDC and should be between 50 and 120 times higher. Not 100, not 50% higher. Not 120% higher. 50 times higher. 100 to 120 times higher. The number of allergic reactions caused by the COVID vaccines that are underreported by the CDC. The estimates show that it should be between 50 and 120 times higher. Think about that. You know what else they've done? 150,000 cases have just up and vanished from the Veris database about COVID. The original death records, 150,000 of the original death, they've been deleted. Are they all dead? I mean, did they delete the records of 150,000 people because they're dead and they don't want you to find out about that? I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't know the reason. I just know that they're gone. And that is, of course, deeply suspicious. Wouldn't you agree? COVID trend number 7, attitude of rules for thee, but not for me, comes out into the open. So true. So true. We're watching this with, the Met Gala with all the slaves wearing masks while AOC is wearing her tax the rich performance art piece designed by, just some obscure seamstress who happens to be dating one of the Bronfmans. Yeah, you'll tax the rich, right? Yeah, I'm sure the Bronfmans are really concerned. Oh, okay, we'll just have to buy more politicians to make sure that we don't get taxed. You know, I put a section in the new book, and I don't remember if I put it in the COVID part or if I put it in the dirty politicians part. It's kind of hard to remember because the line is blurred, but it was a list of all of the instances of these shithead mayors or governors getting busted. Michael Hancock here in Denver getting busted, you know, tweeting out like, be safe this Thanksgiving, stay home. He's like, don't mind me as I catch my flight to Houston, you know, like, or Ted Cruz is like, I was going to Cabo to make sure that I was going to Cancun to make sure that my daughter and her friends got there. And then I was going to turn around and come back the next day. Oh, shut the fuck up, Ted. Nobody believes you. The fact that you had the audacity to say that to us is insulting to our intelligence. Just go be the Zodiac Killer and shut the fuck up. And by the way, I did mention in the book that it is possible that Ted Cruz is the Zodiac Killer. I had to. I think it's more likely that he's from the Munsters, but I digress. Anyway, the truth is that these people in positions of power, they hate your guts. It's been made perfectly clear to anybody that's paying attention. And the rules are for you and me, but not for them. We know that. They aren't even really trying to hide it anymore, right? I think that we should all come to come to understand that if you're expecting your government officials to be all in this together with you, you are expecting for the wrong things. You are going to be very disappointed when it all shakes out. COVID trend number 8, police must now honestly ask themselves, what do I do if following orders comes into conflict with doing what's right? Well, I think the police probably have had to reconcile with this for their entire career, because they're constantly having this conflict between following orders and doing what's right as they look the other way while their partner plants drugs on some kid, or the fact that 60% of police spouses are in domestic violence situations, or that a huge segment of them are juiced up on steroids and acting like maniacs. The police are constantly looking the other way when they're supposed to be doing what's right. This is no surprise, and they've been primed for this since the day they got out of police training. What will they do if following orders comes into conflict with doing what's right? They'll follow orders, because that's what they do. You got to read in the new book, you got to read the section I put in there about the police case, the court case in Philadelphia, where a guy sued the police force for being not admitted because he took the entrance exam and his IQ was too high, and they denied him for it. And he sued the police force saying, you can't deny me because my IQ is too high. And it turned out that he lost because they could, and that the police did retain the right to decline people a job as a police officer for having too high of an IQ. They found that that you don't want police officers with high IQs. You want them just smart enough to work the machines and just dumb enough to continue to enforce seemingly unenforceable laws. I'm sorry if there are police out there listening to this, or members of, you know, people that have members of their family that are police officers, I'm sorry to report this, but that is the fact. That's proven in court. The police forces want their officers to not be too smart. And if that rubs people the wrong way, well, then so be it. That's the police department's making that decision. It's not me. I'm just pointing it out. So when it comes to following orders or doing what's right, if you think they're going to do what's right and take off their helmets and lay down their shields, like you see from time to time online and like maybe Italy or places like that, I mean, good on those officers. But if you're expecting American officers or Australian police or Canadian police to do that, your expectations are too high. They will be the enforcement arm of the state. That's what they are. And I'll tell you what, if you are part of this enforcement arm, you should be ostracized from society from that point on. I don't want anything to do with police. I won't talk to them. I don't want to interact with them. Not their buddy, not their friend. They pull me over, give them my ID, roll down my window the minimum amount, stick my ID out, no small talk, no nothing. Where was I going? What was I doing? None of your business. I have no respect for the police anymore. From mostly peaceful protests to get out of that park to where is your mask? I'll beat you. I'll drag you off this fucking airplane for not putting the mask over your 2-year-old. You know what? The respect that the police officers had at one point is gone. And if you're a good cop trapped in a bad system, well, then you're a bad cop too. Sorry. You are stained by the actions of your brethren. That's on you. If you don't want to be, quit. Don't count on the police to save you on this one. They ain't coming. Google or COVID trend number 9, citizens resist by installing tables outside restaurants. Okay, this one I love. Have you seen this playing out in France? It's brilliant. All these, I don't know if it was the Champs-Élysées or not, but it was a residential area or a retail area. No, it couldn't have been. It was too small of a street for it to be. So it was a retail area in I thought Paris. I could be wrong. Definitely in France. And there were restaurants, you know, lots of like a bunch of restaurants on kind of on both sides of the street. And what people had done is they had packed up picnics, invited their family, and then picnicked in front of the restaurants, like on the sidewalk and in this. It seemed like it was a street with shops on both sides, but it was like a pedestrian only street, like a walkway only street. So there weren't cars, and people had sort of set up in that pedestrian only walkway part. And there were lots of them, and everyone was out there having lunch and eating out in front of these restaurants. And the reason why they were doing that was because the restaurants were saying, you can't come in here and eat unless you show your proof of vaccination. And what these people were saying to the restaurants was, fuck all of you. We're going to eat our food right in front of your restaurant. We're not going to patronize your store. We're going to show you we're hungry, but we're not that hungry. We're going to do it publicly out here. We're going to make a spectacle of it. We're going to invite thousands of our friends. We're all going to do it at the same time. And we're going to show you visually that we have the power. God, do I love this. This is exactly what you have to do. You have to vote with your intentions, your money, your car, your spirit, whatever, your energy, whatever it is that makes you. You withhold it from those that will deny you access based on your vaccination status. Fuck all of that. That should never happen. And if it is happening, you punish them. You punish them by telling them, listen, I'm never going to go here to your store. I'm going to tell everybody that I know to never go to your store. And when this whole thing is lifted, I'm never coming back to your store. Just know that. And then you make your decisions based on how you want to run your store based on that. If you vote to go with the state, then you run the risk of having no customers. If you vote to go with the customers, you run the risk of having the state shut you down. But you'll have support from the people. So it's a dangerous decision. It's a decision that these restaurants have to make. And I'm not trying to put this up. I understand the restaurants are being caught in a bad situation. They don't want to have to enforce this. Well, guess what? Then don't enforce it. This is the point. If you collectively all stand up and say, we're not enforcing it, guess what happens? It doesn't get enforced. But you all have to do it. And then they'll back down. But if you side with the state on this one, you will pay the price. You will be punished. And lastly, in this article, COVID trend number 10, has full-scale resistance and rebellion begun? Well, not yet. Not full-scale. It's bubbling up in places. We're starting to see, the scenes in Melbourne, people standing up there, starting to, push back against the police. I don't know if you've seen that viral clip of, it's like it looks like the police are on the left side and the people are on the right side, and the people on the right just go running towards the police and just start knocking them down in this little sort of like a small street. And if you've seen I posted it on Twitter, the replay, the slow motion replay of that one dude who takes out like four cops in four different ways. And the guy was amazing. I saw that and I was so inspired. Not because I think it's right to, attack cops, but here's the thing. You got to stand up for yourself. And if you're just going to allow the police to come in and show up and just start cracking skulls, they will continue to crack skulls until you stand up for yourself. So in situations like this, if it's the people versus the police, I'm on the side of the people every single time. So the police, if you want to earn the respect, if you want to remember, to those of you out there that are enforcing these unjust laws, like the police, remember this. You're one bounced paycheck away from switching sides. You better remember that. And you may not have the opportunity to switch sides if you keep doing this for much longer, because you will not be welcomed. You want to take your helmets off? You want to put your batons down? Now's the time to do it. You do it a year from now, we're not interested in that. That capitulation has to happen immediately. So to answer the question on COVID trend number 10, has full-scale resistance and rebellion begun? The answer is no, but it could be starting, and it's going to require all of us to get really pissed off about this and to make some changes and to recognize that we have the power to make this go away, but we have to come together. And I know that's difficult for us because we're so used to being divided into smaller groups and fighting with each other. We can go back to that later. I promise if you want to fight with me about pronouns, we can have that fight. Let's schedule it. We'll schedule it 6 months from now. We'll cross that bridge then. But right now, I need all of you. We need everybody. We got to all come together for this. Because if we don't, as Joe Biden says, it's going to be a dark winter. If you like this episode, please share it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter @macroaggressions. If you want the book in digital format from me, you can do so at theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Hypocrisy, available at Amazon as a paperback and a Kindle. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.